Mr. Rose, reel 2.
And a lot of the boys who joined, or the sort of people who joined the Navy when you did, were poorer than you, though, and came from, as you said, I think, the distressed.
Yes. We used to be a stock sign. You knew how poor a chap was when he joined the Navy. His hair was growing out the top of his cap. And he got hair hanging down over his shoulders. But you could tell by the dress, you know, that there were many poor families about. I mean, we call it good old days, but I suppose they were in some... It all depends what sort of family circle you lived in.
And you were then 16 in 1912, but you went into the Navy as a man, which means that you had to manipulate your age.
16 and a half, yes. Yes, and I'll say, under the advice of my cousins that were in the Navy, they advised to take... you didn't have to submit a birth certificate. I don't know whether you do now or not at 18, but under that you did. And all they required was two or three characters to say you were a good type of person. And they didn't require a birth certificate. So therefore I just put my age down and I thought, now what date should I use? I couldn't use my own date because it meant pushing it on further still, making me look much older than I really look. I believe very young even then, for the age. And I looked around, and the one that was nearest to the time when I thought of joining the Navy was my brother. And his birthday was on the 19th of November, I think it was. It's on my papers. So I decided to take that one. And it's a very difficult job going through life with someone else's birthday. Believe me, when you're suddenly confronted asking the date of birth and the year. Invariably, I got the year correct, but I just couldn't remember the date.
Tell me about it. Tell me an occasion when you...
That occasion, when I completed the... When I had finished my time in the Navy, so much time served in the Navy, plus the Fleet Reserve time, making a total of 22 years. And for that, you got the princely sum of £100 and a medal, silver medal. Jolly nice medal, too, they are. Pardon me. And I went into the office. Oh, they sent for me, that was it. Came out one day, leading Stoker Rose, report the regulating officer at once, no, paymaster's office at once. So I went over, I thought, now what the dickens has gone wrong? Have I been drawing too much money or not enough? And I walked, he said, oh, you're entitled to your £100... Fleet Reserve bounty on so and so a date. He said, I'll just take a few particulars before I submit this application. He said, it'll be sent to you in due course. So, name and address, occupation, date of birth. Well, many, many times I've been confronted with this problem, date of birth. And I stood there transfixed. I thought, well, if I don't remember it, I must disclose that I've lived under a false date throughout the Navy, which meant, although I didn't mind at the time, another 2 extra years I would have had to serve. See? Well, I think they insisted on it in those days. I'm not too sure what they would have done, but I wasn't taking a chance, and I had things planned out that I... Instead of having a week's holiday, a fortnight's holiday, a week's training and a week's holiday, we would be able to have a fortnight's holiday. So we made plans to that, the wife and I'm talking about, made plans to that effect, of having a fortnight's holiday. And all this came up my mind, and do you think I could think of my birthday date? I said to the clerk, I said, you wouldn't believe it, I said, I can't remember my own birthday date. He said, "Oh, well, wait a minute." He said, "I believe I got your papers." Fortunately, he got my papers there. So I said, "Oh, here it is, the 19th of November, 1894. Oh, God. I said, "Thank the Lord." I said, "I couldn't have thought of it." I said, "You..." And I told him what I was worrying about on my way over, that I'd either been paid too much or not enough. Anyhow, that all passed. That was a main one that I can never remember I was compared. Other times, when I joined the London Fire Brigade, he came out, the recruiting officer came out, there was about 20 of us lined up outside in the yard, and he said, who's Rose here? I said, "That's me, sir." He said, "Well, you're one of the luckiest persons," he said, "I think I've met." I said, "Why, sir?" He said, "You've got two birthdays." He said, "Would you mind telling me which one?" He said, "I'm making out your papers, which one?" Because you had to produce your birth certificate, you see, to join the London Fire Brigade, and also your service papers. So with the two, I'd got 29th of February 1896 on my birth certificate. On the service certificate, I'd got the 19th of November 1894. So, and then I told him, I said, "Well, I've been going, living a lie," I said, "all the time I've been in the Navy," I said, "but that one, the 29th of February," I said, "is the actual date." So on my London Fire Brigade paid service papers, it is that age.
And that, these were the two big occasions in your life when you...
And believe me, I don't know, it seemed to lift a load off my mind then. It shouldn't have done, because nothing else would have ever worried me, I'm sure. Because I'd finished with the Navy, but all that time, I was discovered.
Recruiting then, the Navy didn't discover your age then. How did they recruit you, and tell me about what the examination was, or the tests that were, and the waiting for the references to come up, which took a day or two?
Well, you walked in the recruiting office as I joined the one at Portsmouth, just outside the dockyard gates, which has been pulled down now. And you walked in there and you just said, "I'd like to join the Navy." And he said, "All right, give you a form to fill in, go over and sit at the desk and fill it up, all the different items that are required, filling up the date of birth, your father's occupation and religion and all the things that matter, and that they copy off and onto the service papers." And he didn't query it. He just said, when I handed him the paper back, he said, "All right, stop where you are," he said, "and I'll bring you some paper over and some sums." I think it was dictation. I can't remember that. But I remember the sums. And I think it was about one, two, there was about three or four of us sat down at the different desks in this little office. And I remember two of the boys there. One came from Derby and the other one from Nottingham. As a matter of fact, the boy from Derby I powered up with. He was the son of a station master. I don't say in Derby, but they lived at Derby all round about. And quite a nice boy too he was. And he was well educated. And the other two boys, there was one from London, and the other one I think from Nottingham. And they weren't all that brilliant. I think one of them failed. I can't remember. I think it was a London boy that failed the examinations. And did the sum, four sums, I think it was, just the usual multiplication, division, and subtraction. And apparently I got them all right, and I think we had a little essay on something. I can't remember that, but nevertheless, it was quite satisfactory. So he said, "All right, stop where you are," he said, past the doctor this afternoon. This was a summer, about middle of region, and midday. So he said, "There's a restaurant over the road if you'd like to go over." They didn't pay him. I think he was only just telling us where we could get something. As I said, I took the princely sum of half a crown down to Portsmouth, and with that I think I went and bought a cup of tea and a couple of cakes. I couldn't afford it. didn't know how long my money would last then. And we had to report back, I think it was 2 o'clock. We had a walk around the harbour and looked at the ships coming in. And in those days, it was not an unusual sight to see a huge battleship coming in. I remember the first one I saw was a Bulwark. An enormous, great thing it looked, coming in harbour with all the sailors standing up, you know, and gave you a certain glow of pride. And then I thought, I should be like that one these days. Not much glamour when you do it, believe me. And at 2 o'clock, we went in. He said, the three of us, I think it was, he said, come with me, and we marched, and we immediately fell into the naval discipline, and he marched us into the dockyard and ran to where the surgeon, I can remember the building now, it's pulled down, but I can remember seeing this old fashioned building with ivy covered walls, and we went inside and stood up there, and I think I told you the doctor was very thoughtful, and he was stripped off there, and he had a lovely warm fire, told us to stand by the fire. It was November, of course, it was rather raw cold. We passed him, and we took it that he was satisfied with us, but he didn't say. And we came out, marched back to the office, just outside the recruiting office. And he said, well, I shan't want you anymore. He said, any of you. He said, I'm telling a lie. He said, Rose, you remain behind. He said, the other two, he said, I'll take you into barracks. So he marched his two, I don't know whether you know Portsmouth at all, it's about a quarter of a mile, half a mile, I suppose, marched him into barracks. And with the assistant recruiting officer, I sat in and waited. When he came back, he said, you didn't bring a card. That's the only thing I forgot. I forgot to take characters with me, you see. You know, the cousins, you know, that were in the Navy, they forgot to mention the fact that I'd be required to take two or three characters. So he said, well, what we're writing straight away now. He says, as a matter of fact, my assistant's made the letters out already. He said, we're writing straight away to Keely and Tongs in London. That was the head of the international stores. And the local grocer that you work for. He said, for your characters. So he said, I don't know how long it'll be. He said, yours, the local one, shouldn't take very long. He said, should get that here by tomorrow morning or the next day. Well, 3 days I lived at the Navy's expense in this restaurant that he had previously sent us over to. And I thought, what a wonderful thing. Food, get up in the morning, whatever time you like, get up in the morning, breakfast, walk around Portsmouth or wherever you wanted to go, come back, dinner as you walked in, so he knew, see, here's your dinner there. I was being treated like a lord. Tea, supper, so this could go on forever. I'm nearly satisfied with the Navy.
And all the time you didn't suspect they were looking into your background to check your date or anything like that. You had told them you were 18 and you accepted...
Exactly.
No,
they didn't. No, they weren't suspicious in that respect. Well, I didn't show any sign of suspicion. I don't think I blushed even at the date of... mentioning the date of birth. And after about 3 days, I think it was on Thursday morning, he came over. I was sitting at breakfast and said, we've received your... Your characters from the international, that's the one we've been waiting for, he said. And he said, you come along with me, I'll take you into barracks. So I went into barracks, and as I walked through the gate, something seemed to struck me. I think it was fear more than anything. Marched into the guard room, and I must have looked terrible. I wasn't all that clean, I'm sure, after about 3 or 4 days since I left home. It didn't feel as I did. It was a wash morning and I don't know. But, and he said, righto, go along with this petty officer. I went along with this petty officer. We came out into the back, across the barrack square, ran to the bathrooms. And the bathrooms in those days were the real old Victorian bathrooms. stone floor or concrete floor, and just little alcoves and a tin bath. And I'm looking there for an elaborate bathroom and sponges and towels and all the usual luxuries that goes with the bathroom. And he said, right, I'll strip off. I said, where do I put my clothes? Chuck it on the floor, he said. Chuck your clothes on the floor. Well, I don't say it was a damp floor, but it was just a concrete floor. And I climbed into this bathroom. Well, I must have looked like September morning, I think. I stood there, froze. And the water was only just warm. You see, the whole of the barracks wash and get up, or get up and wash at 7 or 8 in the morning. And, of course, they drain off all the hot water. So, consequently, I was left with a drop of tepid water. And he said, all right, that'll do you. He said, I can see. I said, did you have a bath for your job? I said, yes, on Monday morning. I didn't. I had the bath on the Sunday night.